podcast you are about to listen to will contain detailed plot spoilers. If you do not wish to have the movie ruined for you, I recommend turning the podcast off now. Also, the podcast will contain graphic and explicit language. If you don't think your ears can handle it, turn the podcast off and go change your tampon. You have been warned.
Let's all go to the lobby. Let's all go to
welcome back, my horror hungry hordes, to yet another blood-curdling episode of the Movie Pit Podcast. It's your master of scary ceremonies, Boozer, that come on mic, and let me tell you, I'm fucking pumped for today's dive into the guts and gore of none other than Scream 3. That's right, we're tackling the third stab in this iconic slasher saga. Strap yourselves in, you sick motherfuckers, because in today's episode, we'll cover the twisted turns and comic jabs of Scream 3, comparing the Bloodfest to its slasher kin. We'll check out just how the fuck it stands up to the Carnage classics, where it slices through expectations and where it might just trip over its own intestines. But that's not all. After this trailer break, we'll slip into a scene-by-scene analysis so detailed it'll make a coroner queasy. And trust me, in the world of horror, the devil's in the details. So grab your ghost face mask, dimble eyes, if you've got the balls for it, and prepare for a real fun shit show. We're about to listen to the chilling sounds of the screenplay trailer, and when we return, I'll take you on a guided tour through every nook, cranny, and stab wound of this gory production. See you on the other side, if you dare.
Trilogies is that in the third one,
all bets are off.
Hello, Sydney. Welcome to the final act.
There is one mystery more terrifying than you know.
Who is this?
Do you want to have this conversation with a polygraph?
Is that a threat?
When it's a threat, you'll know it.
Was that a threat?
There is one secret that can never be revealed until the end.
Anyone, including the main character, can die. This means you, Sid.
From suspense master Wes Craven,
yeah, behind you,
comes the final chapter in the terrifying trilogy. Scream 3.
Don't panic.
Welcome, movie lovers, cinephiles, and everyone who gets a shiver of excitement from a spine-chilling horror flick or a cult classic. We're thrilled to bring you today's episode of the Movie Pit Podcast, courtesy of Shout Factory and Scream Factory, your ultimate havens for films that define, defy, and push the limits of cinema. With Shout Factory, you're diving into a treasure trove of unforgettable movies and TV shows that have shaped generations, From gripping documentaries to animated adventures, Shout Factory brings you the content you love in deluxe Blu-rays and exclusive collector's editions. Ever wanted to own a piece of film history? Shout Factory's lovingly crafted releases are a cinephile's dream. And for those who hear the call of the dark side, who relish the thrill of a jump scare, and who appreciate the art of classic horror and sci-fi, Scream Factory welcomes you with open arms. With meticulously restored screen gems, collector's edition box sets, and enough supplementary content to satiate even the most ardent of horror aficionados, Scream Factory ensures the thrills keep coming long after the credits have rolled. For quality, nostalgia, and a dedication to the movies and series that won your heart, look no further than Shout and Scream Factory. Discover lost titles, revisit old favorites, and experience the best in high definition. What are you waiting for? Add a little cinematic magic to your collection today. Check out their eclectic and extensive catalog at shoutfactory.com. Elevate your movie night with a purchase from the masters of film restoration and distribution. And now, sit back, relax, and enjoy today's feature on the Movie Pit Podcast, brought to you by Shout Factory and Scream Factory, where the movies come alive right in your living room.
All right, you sick cinema savants. Buckle up, because we're slicing through Scream 3 like Ghostface on a rampage, scene by bloody fucking scene. And you won't believe the shenanigans they've packed into this hot mess of horror and hijinks. We kick off with Cotton Weary, that lucky son of a bitch, living the high life with his own talk show when suddenly his world gets flipped by a Ghostface call demanding Sydney's whereabouts. Like any sensible person, he says, fuck no, and hangs up. Bad move, Cotton. Because Cottonface doesn't take kindly to rejection. Cut to his girlfriend Christine alone in their crib. Classic prey for a maniac. Cotton rushes home not knowing he's about to walk into a knife-filled... to a knife-filled sideshow. And bam. Ghostface cars up Christine like a Thanksgiving fucking turkey. And Cotton gets it worse than a kebab at a boozy barbecue. Next, the world's most relentless reporter, Gail Weathers, is on the case. Thanks to Detective Mark McDreamy Kincaid, he lures her to Hollywood, where Dewey's now some hush-up advisor on Stab 3. It's a goddamn family reunion of survivors, and boy, they are about to get a bloody extension. Stab 3 actress Sarah Darling cops it next. Sayonara, Sarah. Her guts end up spilled, shuts down production faster than a fucking health code violation. This summons the cast at Jennifer Jolie's pad, where Ghostface does the old slice and dice on her boyfriend and turns a peaceful movie night into an explosive fuckfest that gives new meaning to bombing at the fucking box office. Sydney Prescott's trying to live that hermit life, but will her new safety first mantra keep her safe from Ghostface's mommy dearest voice modulator? Not a goddamn chance. She's hounded back to Hollywood and finds herself in the deadly homecoming parade nobody signed off for. In comes Randy's sister Martha. No, not to save the day, but to drop a VHS tape from beyond the fucking grave. Big bros making postmortem cameos giving us, if you're in a trilogy, you're fucked advice. Thanks for nothing, Randy. On to the set of Stab 3. Sydney has her mother's old murder spree reenacted around her. PSD's got nothing on this shit. But wait, there's a twist. Our heroes get a get-out-of-jail-free card, kind of literally, from the cops. At Roman Bridger's birthday party, which gets crashed harder than a teenager on vodka Red Bulls, we witness a Hollywood slaughterhouse. Ghostface is knifing through the cast quicker than EX through a production budget. In the grand finale, Sydney's doing that horror heroine ballet of bullets and blades, and what did you know? Roman reveals himself to be the ballsy bastard behind the mask. This motherfucker's got a goddamn bulletproof vest, and he's ranting about his mommy issues louder than a Reddit forum. After a family reunion that's messier than Thanksgiving with the Trumps, Sydney and Roman go toe-to-toe in a last dance to the death. Shoot, stab, repeat. They're more relentless than an X on speed dial. Roman tries for a psycho's encore, but Dewey puts a bullet in an idea and in Roman's skull. And as the movie winds down, Dewey pops the question like he's on some Hallmark special in Sydney. Well, she just leaves the damn door open, which is either a fuck you to her paranoia or an invite for Scream 4. Who the hell knows with her? That's the scene-by-scene bloodbath, folks. Feel like you need a shower? Probably not. But remember, life's a bitch and then you die. And in Scream 3, just about everyone gets their taste of both. Stick around, grab your favorite poison, because we'll be back after these messages to dissect the actors who fooled us into thinking they might just survive this fuckery.
Las Vegas, a gambler's dream, and a dreamer's paradise. They're all about to meet their worst nightmare.
Look out, Vegas. I'm taking over!
Now, the leprechaun's back in the city that never sleeps. And he will never rest until he reclaims his pot of gold.
Belongs to me, this gold I smell. Whoever's got it's going to hell. I want me shilling.
Hello? If we destroy the gold, we get rid of the leprechaun once and for all.
Leprechaun 3. The third time's the charm.
Hello there, I'm Tobin Bell from the Saw franchise. I want to play a game. The rules of this game are simple. Up until now, you've simply sat in the shadows, listening to the world around you. But now I challenge you to become an active participant in your love of cinema. There is a podcast, The Movie Pit, that dives into the abyss of film, dissecting and discussing what many simply watch passively. It's a space where narratives intertwine, where the silver screen secrets are laid bare for your auditory pleasure. So now you must make a choice. Will you ignore this opportunity, letting the static of countless other distractions drown out your passion? Or will you tune in, engage your senses, and embrace the depths of this cinematic exploration? Remember, the choice you make will show the value you place on the wealth of knowledge that awaits. So I ask you, live or die, make your choice.
All right, let's dice up the meaty cast of Scream 3 today and inspect the chops they brought to the table. Buckle the fuck up, because we're diving headfirst into a pit of actors that's as mixed as the reviews for the film itself. Kicking off with our Scream Queen, Neve Campbell as Sydney Prescott once again. Campbell, by this third entry, is no stranger to us. She started off as the innocent next door type in the first Scream, but by God, does she ramp it up in this one. She goes from the haunted to the hunter, showing some serious resilience and, dare I say, a badass fucking edge. I mean, think about her arc. Our gal Sydney was morphing into a shadow of Sarah Connor from Terminator. Then we've got Courtney Cox Arquette as Gail Weathers, from the TV anchor fighting for airtime to a best-selling author. She's got more layers than a goddamn onion in this fucking film series. And in Scream 3, she's slicing through the bullshit with the precision of a fucking scalpel, Rolex-wearing, Ferrari-driving, and quick to the quip damn. She's fierce and absolutely nails the evolution of her character's role. David Arquette's return as Dewey Riley is like your favorite comfort food. It's expected, and it does the damn job. His bumbling charm is consistent, but there's an added layer of maturity here. Dewey's gone from a gullible deputy to a consultant on the set of Stab Fucking the Three. His dynamic with Gail? Shit, it's like watching an old married couple bicker but you know they're made for each other. Now, McDreamy himself, Patrick Dempsey. He's the newbie detective in the franchise, Mark Kincaid. Dude's smoldering look and serious chops make you almost forget that he's the heartthrob in Can't Buy Me Love. Dempsey's got this brooding intensity that fits right in. He's digging into the past of Maureen Prescott and lighting up some dark corners of this whole fucked up saga. Scott Foley, bless his soul, takes a stab at being our detector slash killer, Roman Bridger.
Yeah.
He pulls double duty. He brings layers you wouldn't expect in a slasher flick. Anger, abandonment, shit, even a twisted sibling bond. Remember him and Felicity? Wipe that clean, because he's no sweet boy next door here. He morphs into a master manipulator, both behind the camera and as a psycho in a mask. Parker Posey, the indie darling, whips up a storm as Jennifer Jolie. She's playing the actress who plays Gail in the movie within a movie. Fucking meta as hell, am I right? That scene where she argues with the real Gail Weathers about who's better at being Gail, comedic fucking gold. Posey really chows down on the scenery here, and it's a joy to watch. I love watching actresses and actors chew up scenery left and fucking right. We've got a smorgasbord of fresh meat too, like Emily Mortimer's Rudy Turn as Angelina, another one of those stab three meat puppets. She's timid with a side of sketch that makes you wonder about her. Mark Kessler as Tom Demp. You might know him from The Last Days of Disco, but if not, it doesn't matter. Ghostface doesn't care for his resume. Jenny McCarthy? Yeah, singled out. That McCarthy. She steps into the role of Sarah Darling and delivers what she can before getting the iconic Ghostface treatment. Quick, sassy, and with a death scene that to this day gets a cheer from gorehounds fucking everywhere. And we can't forget Lance motherfucking Hendrickson as John Milton. Fucking Lance Hendrickson. The man is a cult legend, and he slithers into the skin of the sleazeball producer with ease. It's more than an on-the-nose reference to Hollywood bigwigs exploiting starry-eyed actors. Art really gave life a wake-up slap here after the shit that went down with, let's say, Harvey Weinstein. Anybody? Anybody? Let's pour out one for Lee Shriver's Cotton Weary. Yet death comes knocking for this character in the opening scene, but it's a performance that's short, sharp, and it matters because it puts the whole show on the road to chaos. This cast, they're like puzzle pieces weaving together a tapestry of terror, snappy one-liners, and a little bit of Tinseltown's seedy underbelly. Each star brought their A game, or at least enough game for a slasher reel. Some had more to prove, others just needed to show up and die beautifully. And knowing their past work, it's like 6 degrees of slasher separation. That's the rundown on the Scream 3 Motley Crue. Mixed bag, yes, or maybe. But by God, they make this twisted family reunion worth turning into. All right, here we go. Let's talk about Wes Craven's direction in Scream 3. Digging into the man's method, his madness, and oh boy, his motherfucking mastery behind the camera. Wes, the goddamn godfather of nightmares, already had us by the balls with the first two Screams of this franchise. But with Scream 3, well, shit gets personal. Now Scream 3 is a different beast, and we ain't talking about the Ghostface killer here. This flick is filled with self-referential humor, mocking into its own goddamn trilogy status. But who better to handle this shit than Craven? The man handles it like a booze-soaked pro at a bar fight, with grace, style, and enough wink to let you know that he is in on the joke. We gotta talk about how he shifted the lens in this one. Less goddamn gore and a truckload more laughs. And I know what you're thinking. Those diehard gore hounds might be crying into their fucking popcorn about the lack of bloodbath, but Craven was responding to the dark cloud of media scrutiny after that fucked up shit show that had just happened at Columbine High School. He swung the pendulum towards humor, leaving the carnage slightly off screen. And damn, it was a bold move. Guess what? It worked. Me personally, given the, because I lived through Columbine, I remember this movie came out in theaters. If I was making this movie, I might have gone the route and said, fuck Columbine and gone balls to the wall. And it might not have worked. That could have been a huge backlash. But Craven chose what he chose, and it worked out, and I give him mad props for that. But let's not gloss over the suspense. Wes Craven didn't forget the key ingredient. Every goddamn frame squeezes tension out of the air till it strangles you like a wet fucking towel. He's the master of making you look over your shoulder, then scaring the shit out of you for even daring to look. And talk about tying up loose ends. Scream 3 had more knots than the Boy Scout handbook. Craven wasn't just wrapping up a film, he was sealing the deal of a whole motherfucking legacy. You can feel how personal it is, the way he lingers on Sydney's story, giving us all the payoff we've been creaming for over these years, without making it feel like we're watching paint dry. Now let's get real about those rewrites. Wes's style had to be nimble too, dodging script changes like bullets because goddamn the script was changing faster than a hooker's bedsheets. But he didn't falter. He managed to get those actors to dive deep into their roles, even when the ink of their lines was still wet. It takes a special kind of director to keep a crew from going off the rails when the track ahead is being laid down as you're fucking going. One of the most badass things about Craven in Scream 3, his attention to continuity and his commitment to the trilogy world. Look at the way he brought back the sets from the original Scream for the movie set scene, building tension from playing on our nostalgia. That's the work of somebody who's not just making a sequel for the hell of it, but making it because they've got something to fucking say. Wes had something to fucking say, all right. And hey, you might have noticed the reshot scenes. Craven had balls, man. He wasn't afraid to scrap a scene if it didn't work, because he wasn't there to feed us some half-assed happy meal of a horror flick. He was creating a goddamn gourmet experience, even if the kitchen was on fire and he was juggling the knives while doing. The beauty of Wes Craven's direction lies in the balance. He's like a tightrope walker over a pit of rabid fans, critics, and studio execs. He had to entertain and push boundaries without pissing off too many people or losing the essence of Scream. And the motherfucker did it with Scream 3. Wes Craven's Scream 3 direction? It's the stuff film geeks wet their beds over. He managed to evolve the series while staying true to what the fans fucking love about it. It's a balancing act between horror and comedy, fresh and familiar, chaos and control, and My Twisted Friends. Craven was the ringleader of this morbid circus. So, was it the strongest of the three? Maybe not. Definitely wasn't the worst of the three. I think two is a lot worse than this one, and that is very controversial amongst fans. But it had a different job to do, a different beast to wrangle. And Scream 3 didn't need to be the best. It just needed to be the ending we deserved. And goddamn, Wes Craven served it up on a silver platter with a side of fuck you to anybody who doubted that he still had it. And on that bombshell, we'll wrap up the discussion on Wes Craven and his helming of this bloody beautiful mess that is Scream 3. And we'll get right into talking about Kevin Williamson. All right, my fellow film freaks and geeks, let's slice into the meaty topic of Scream 3's writing and the script. in case you've been living under a fucking rock, Scream 3 came out swinging in 2000 with a script penned by, yes, I know I said Kevin Williamson, but guess what? That was a tease because he did not write the script. This is the first Scream flick that he did not write. This was penned by Erin Kruger, who took over the franchise from Kevin Williamson. Now, why the switch up, you ask? William was knees deep in another project and pretty much left Kruger with it. Let's say he left him with a skeleton of a script, which Kruger then had to flesh out, add muscle to, and oh boy, they put some meat on those bones. Diving straight into the bloodbath, it's clear that Scream 3 was meant to be the final act, the last curtain call in this stab-happy saga. But let's get one thing straight. That wasn't any slapdash, half-assed finale. Kruger took the reins with the gusto of Ghostface at an open house in Woodsboro. Dripping with just the right balance of comedy and horror that fans of the franchise fucking adore. There's a thick vein of satire running through the script, which comes as no fucking surprise since the whole franchise loves to get meta on our asses. There's a film within a film, people. Stab 3. Now, granted, that means there's another Stab film that was made since the previous Scream film, but they don't mention that, and that whole thing gets way convoluted. But that's a story for next week and beyond. The real genius move by Kruger was taking us to Hollywood with the Stab 3 production. That's right. Instead of the usual backwater slash finesse, we're knee-deep in the glitzy and the glamour while still swimming in a pool of blood. It's a hell of a play on the Hollywood sequel machine and the madness that swirls around it. Actors, egos, rewrites, and murder. Kruger wasn't just juggling chainsaws when it came to weaving humor with horror. He was taming lions while he was at it. The lion being the post-Columbine landscape. That can't be understated enough. The script had to duck and weave around the scrutinizing gaze of the media-addled, violence-wary public. So what's the result? A lighter touch on the gore and a heavier hand on the chuckles. Scream 3 canted up more than a drag queen at a campfire, but don't be fooled. The shadows were still lurking. There were jabs at trilogy cliches, Hollywood's seedy underbelly, and the noose-tight relationship between stardom and survival. Kruger's handling of true-to-franchise motives was damn commendable. He gave nods to the first two flicks while still summoning up a fresh batch of scares and laughs, and man, did he make sure to leave room for those classic Scream scare pranks that make you jump out of your fucking skin. Now, here's where Kruger played a risky hand. The portrayal of Sydney, our beloved final girl, had to evolve from the tormented teen to gun-toting badass. Sydney's development wasn't just plot, it was a goddamn statement. It was a Sydney who'd been through the ringer and shat out the other side, full of splinters and ready to say, "I ain't your fucking victim anymore," to any mask-wearing nutjob with mommy issues. Let's not forget, dear listeners, the throwbacks and tributes that Kruger weaved in, even with Williamson's own spectral presence, the film still echoed with the signature from the clever role wrangling to the quippy knife-edge dialogue. Throw in Kruger's own flair, and you've got yourself a script that could fucking talk the talk and walk the walk, even in Sidney Prescott's blood-soaked boots. But there's a gripe. Ain't there always? Some purists might say the humor overshadowed the horror, that Kruger lost that knife-edge balance that Williamson had so deftly maintained. But fuck it. I say Kruger rolled with the fucking punches. He tossed in a couple of gutbusters and a slew of Easter eggs that had us whorehounds howling at the moon with fucking joy. So here's the rub. Krueger caught the scream baton and fucking sprinted with it. He crafted a script that paid homage to the DNA of the franchise, but wasn't afraid to douse it in a fresh can of kerosene and toss a match over his shoulder as he walked away, cool as a cucumber. In a film series that prides itself on gutting genre norms, Scream 3's script danced the razor's edge, carving out a piece in slasher flick fucking history. And there you have it, boils and ghouls. A look at the bloody script of Scream 3. It might have a few critics sharpening their knives, but it's a fitting inscription on the tombstone of the original Scream trilogy, all while giving us diehards enough inside jokes to fill a fucking morgue. Cheers to Krueger for keeping this corpse twitching in the finest way possible. All right, let's cut to the chase and talk visuals. Scream 3's style. Now, any self-respecting fan of slasher flicks will tell you that the way a movie looks can be just as important as a knife-wielding maniac or a gut-wrenching plot twist. And damn, does Scream 3 bring it. So, why does this matter? Because cinematography is basically the lifeblood of the fucking of film's vibe. And this flick pumps out some wild fucking visual beats. Let's start with those opening shots. Our boy Cotton Weary is cruising through Tinseltown, right? The camera work is tight, edgy, gives us this false sense of security just before it hurls us headfirst into the terror of his lavishly put together pad destined to be a slaughterhouse. Now, the beauty of Scream 3 ain't just in the blood splatters. It's how the camera dances with the characters. There's this voyeuristic quality that's as much a series trademark as Ghostface Mask. They're always peering through windows, around corners and shit, even from the killer's POV. The lens glues us to the story, but also reminds us we might as well be accomplices to this. Then there's the lighting. Christ, if lighting wasn't key to this genre, we'd all be watching goddamn soap operas instead. But here, light and shadows twist around each other like star-crossed lovers in hell. Scenes are soaked in moody shadows, strobe lights at a party, or the unsettling fluorescent of a police station, each shade setting the stage for the next oh-fuck moment. And let's not forget the set pieces, like Sydney's harrowing tiptoe through the recreated scene of her mother's house after her murder. Walls suffocating, shadows stretching, the atmosphere so thick you could slice it with your, well, you know where I'm going with this. It's a mindfuck that's as visual as it is psychological. The camera angles are another tool in the suspense arsenal. High angles diminish our heroes. Low angles make the killers look downright godlike. But when the camera levels out, that's when the real shit goes down. It's mano a mano. Survivor against killer, and we're eye to eye with the chaos. But you can't chat Scream without a nod to the chases. The cinematography turns these into a goddamn ballet of brutality. Long tracking shots chase our favorite strip hallways, weaving between obstacles. The steadiest thing in these scenes is the goddamn camera. Then boom. A quick cut, and suddenly, there's a knife in your fucking face. These cuts are sharper than Ghostface's blade itself, timed like a jump scare without the cheap thrill. And they're fucking effective. Look, cinematography isn't just pretty pictures. It's storytelling with lighting and movement, angles and shadows. Wes Craven and his director of photography, Peter Deming, they're like maestros conducting an orchestra of dread. They build this visual symphony that reels you in, holds you tight, and then scares the living fucking shit out of you. It's a freaky-ass merry-go-round, and we're all fucking riding it. So whether it's the contrasting glamour or grunge of the Hollywood backdrop or the sinister gleam of Ghostface Knife, This film's got a sticky visual grip that won't let go. It's a freak show of light and shadow, a testament of how visuals can turn a movie into a monument of horror. And with each anxious pan, every audacious tilt and turn, Scream 3 pulls off a hat trick. It turns the visual style that rooted the franchise into our nightmares, while evolving just enough to keep our hearts pounding like a motherfucker. It's an aesthetic that not only respects the lineage of the legendary slasher genre, but slashes a path of its own. In the annals of horror, it's the technical finesse, the combination of mood, suspense, and old-school terror aesthetics that stands out. In Scream 3, yeah, it fucking nails it. The cinematography is a testament to the genre's visual power. From the scream to the screen, it's not just a flick, it's a crafted experience that grips you by the eyes and doesn't let you go until the credits fucking roll. Hold on to your butts and put one finger in your ass, folks, because we're about to slice and dice our way through the often overlooked and undeniably crucial art of editing. This is where movie magic meets the butcher's block. And in Scream 3, it's really a goddamn art form. Editing isn't just about cutting away the actor's shitty takes or trimming the fat to keep things rolling. It's the rhythm, the pace, and the goddamn heartbeat of a flick. Scream 3 had a hell of a job on its hands balancing, like I've said many times in this, horror, comedy, and a cast of characters that'd make a game of Clue look like an amateur fucking hour. Let's kick it off with the opening scene. We're used to the Scream franchise hitting us with a bang right out the fucking gate. And Scream 3 doesn't disappoint. We've got Cotton fucking Weary, high off his new fame, carelessly gabbing on the phone while the real terror is about to slice through his calm like a hot knife through butter. And the editing here, it's a tango between the quick cuts of Ghostface hunting his prey and the dread-dripping suspense of elongated silence. We're lured into this false sense of security one second, only to have our nerves shredded the next. As we journey through the meat of this movie, our editor has to juggle some serious fucking shit. We've got Roman, the director, who's throwing curveballs from behind the camera, all while Ghostface is out there, hacking away all the star-studded cast. It takes some serious cojones to keep all these plates spinning without turning the whole thing into a confusing mess. But here's the real kicker. Our editors had to do this amidst a goddamn hurricane of script changes. They were cutting scenes without knowing they were going to be tied to the next fucking murder, or tossed out like last week's leftovers. They had to be sharper than Ghostface knife to keep the audience second-guessing and on the edge of their seats. Fast forward through some, I say, grade-A slashing and sarcastic one-liners, and we land at Roman's birthday bash. A murder fest where the editing plays a sick game of peekaboo with the bodies, falling left and right. The transitions are smooth as hell, but sharp as shattered glass, guiding us through the chaos masterfully. Let's not forget the finale. Scream 3 goes full metal fucking jacket with the showdown between Sidney and whiny-ass fucking Rope. And the editing mirrors their twisted family bonds. Shots are spliced together with surgical fucking precision as we're veered through a maze of mirrored rooms and twisted revelations, each cut bringing us closer to the series' most jaw-dropping truths. And shit, just when you think you can't breathe, the goddamn movie throws Sidney's psycho half-brother back at us. Our dear friend the editor crisply snaps the scene back and forth, expertly ratcheting up the tension before the final head-blasting shot is fired. Let's face it, the story of Scream 3 could easily have derailed into a flaming pile of dog shit with less skilled hands in the editing room. These folks don't just deserve a pat on the back. They deserve a big, wet, beer-soaked kiss for making Scream 3 a gripping, cohesive bloodfest. As we wrap up shredding through the editing of this film, it's crystal fucking clear that the editing of Scream 3 was no walk in the fucking park. It was a sprint through a minefield at night, with Ghostface whispering sweet nothings to you in your ear. Hats off to the editing team for keeping this train on the tracks and serving up a piece that kept true to the Scream name. Equal parts satirical, scary, and sliced to goddamn perfection. And that, my fellow gorehounds, is a wrap on the power of cutting, the splicing, and the holy art of the editing that gave Scream 3 its serrated edge. All right, my slash-loving friends, it's time for us to take one more break to listen to sponsors, stretch your legs, refill that drink, because goddamn, you're gonna need it for what's coming up. Seriously, don't fuck around and disappear on me. We've got a hell of a lot more to dive into Scream 3, so stay put and we'll be right the fuck back.
What the hell was that? He's here.
Good evening.
He's back. Ready for romance.
She loves me.
Ready for excitement.
This barbecue's only just begun.
Ready for murder.
Destroy him.
You ball-busting bitch.
Hold it right there, pilgrim.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens.
You as a monster.
You look much taller in person.
This is far too violent.
What did you shoot him with? Steroids?
Leprechaun 4. Leprechaun in Space. Yes.
This portion of the Movie Pit podcast is brought to you by Fright Rags. Are you sick freaks craving a wardrobe that screams bloody murder? Get your gore-loving asses over to Fright Rags, the ultimate pit stop for horror apparel sharper than Freddy's claws and cooler than Jason's mask on a frosty Friday night. Since 2003, they've decked out horror hounds in the sickest tees, handing out scares like candy on Halloween. Got a soft spot for those twisted slashers and demented demons? They've got them all, from Trick or Treat to the goddamn Prince of Playtime, Chucky, starting at just $26. But hold on to your guts, it's not just shirts. We're peddling socks that'll make your feet the last thing they see before the lights go out, lounge pants looser than the morals in a teen slasher flick, and fucking souvenir cups that'll have you sipping to a bloodbath, unsure which demented duds to don. Can't decide if you want to rep the shape or sport some sadistic socks. Let them pick your poison. Rush your horror-loving ass over to FrightRags.com. What are you waiting for? An engraved invitation from Dracula. Chop chop, before these bestsellers slice their way out of stock. Check out the website. That's FrightRags.com. You've got 45 seconds, starting now.
All right, let's tear into the critical meat of Scream 3 and see what's good. When this flick first landed in cinemas, it was met with an orchestra of reactions, some singing its praises and other, well, sounding more like a wailing banshee. Gearing up for this dive, I've got to say, navigating reviewers' thoughts on Scream 3 is like tiptoeing through a minefield strewn with razor blades. Damn tricky and full of sharp fucking edges. For starters, Rotten Tomatoes clocks it in at 41% approval rating. But let's not get all judgy-judgy too fast. The overall rating is squatting on is a 5.2 out of 10, which ain't exactly the bottom of the barrel, but it sure as hell ain't the top shelf stuff either. Now, Metacritic lines up with a score of 56 out of 100 based on 32 reviews. That lands it in the mixed or average reviews category. If you're doing the Fandango with audience scores, you'll find a little more love with a B grade. Sounds like grandma's report card, not failing, but you wouldn't brag about it either. Not to sling too much mud, but Time Out London really didn't pull any punches calling out Scream 3 as a dying echo of Craven's more inspired meta horror, Wes Craven's New Nightmare. They sniffed at how the flick held in comparison, like it was trying to chase its own fucking tail. But fuck me, not everyone was sticking their boots in. The Los Angeles Times bucked up, dubbing it both genuinely scary and highly amusing, like a haunted house with a stand-up comic around every corner. BBC looked at it through a lenient eyes too, calling it a more effective trilogy ender than anyone really had the right to hope for. Now, Empire's take landed on the fence. Their kind of meh voice said, sure, it's satisfying enough, but God, the premise was thinner than my ex's premises. And the aficionados at Variety, well, they shot a grin at the movie, tipped their hat to Craven and how he brought down the curtain on a series that got so many knockoffs, you'd think it was a goddamn designer bag. Post-2017, though, that's where the shit gets real. With Harvey Weinstein's scandal busting into the scene like a bull in a fucking china shop, eyebrows got raised at how Scream 3, in hindsight, threw some dark shadows on the casting couch lingo of Hollywood. Kristen Yunsun Kim, in 2017, nailed the gong on John Milton's character, played by good old fucking Lance Henderson, as a nest for the same grimy birds Weinstein flocked with. Adam Wright, writing in 2020, waxed lyrical in the film as a scathing attack on Hollywood's scum-sucking predators, drawing parallels to real-life shit that went down, from the cameo of Carrie Fisher spitting some hard truths to glaring hints about transactional sex and abuse. The horror wasn't just coming from Ghostface. Emma Frazier, scribing for Sci-Fi Wire, pointed out that Mama Prescott was getting more shade than a goddamn redwood tree, but wished the production had gone dug deeper into the messy reality of Tinseltown's nightmares. And I agree with that. Had they gone deeper, gone more balls to the wall and not been hesitant about some shit, maybe Harvey Weinstein's fucking conviction would still be upheld today, but that's a conversation for another fucking day. So here's the blood-soaked motherfucking recap on the critical chopping block for Scream 3. There are enough sides to please a schizophrenic and controversy that keeps on giving even decades later. This slice and dice gig gets a polarized world of scowls and smiles. But ain't that just like horror to get people going? Anyway, let's wrap this up. So yeah, that's a wrap on today's deep dive into the sarcastic and intricately woven world of Scream 3. From Ghostface chilling calls to Sydney's unyielding spirits, we've slashed through each scene with a motherfucking knife of scrutiny and a dash of naughty humor, just the way you like it. We've laughed, we've shouted, and maybe some of us got a tad too amped up and are now sleeping with the lights on. But all in all, I'm giving this slasher flick a hearty 7 out of 10. Yeah, goddamn right. That's not perfect, but it is sure as hell fucking entertaining. Crafty killers, crazy twists, meta commentary, this movie had it fucking all. Remember to join me this Thursday, same time, same place, same madness, as we continue our explicit escapade with the discussion of Scream 4 and its critical response, delving into the madness. And as always, till next time, kiddies. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to this The Movie Pit Movie Review. We hope you have enjoyed your time. Come back to the Movie Pit Podcast each week for a new movie review podcast. The Movie Pit is produced by Ryan Boozer Johnson and Seth Chapman. The opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual hosts and may not reflect the views of RMJ Media Incorporated. See you next week.